20:16. Praise you, Father. Before I actually read this, I'd like to say something else. And about verse 16 here it says, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many be called, but few chosen." Now, Jesus has just finished a parable. What happened was he hired some of his individuals to come in and work for him. This man, you know, he's talking about this man that did that. And he said, "I'll give you one penny a day to work for me." And so towards the end of the day, he hired some new laborers, and they come in, and they only had an hour or so left to work, and at the end of the day, he was paying them, and he paid the ones that worked all day a penny. And then the one that came up and worked a couple hours, he paid them a penny too, and these other guys turned around and said, "Now what's going on here? We worked all day, and you paid us a penny. These guys only worked an hour or two, and you paid them the same thing you paid us. That's not fair." And that's what Jesus is talking about. He turned around and says, "Now didn't I pay you what we agreed upon? We agreed upon a penny, and I paid you a penny. Now, what can I do with what I want to with my money? Can I pay these people more?" And then he says this, "There's many called, but few are chosen." See? And what we're talking about here is what Jesus did. What happened to this laborer that worked all day? His evil heart was exposed, is what happened. You see? This God gave them an opportunity to be tested, and in this opportunity to be tested, his real attitude came out, you see. Because, see, God's no respecter of person. You get what you're worth. And I shouldn't say that. You don't get what you're worth. You get much more what you're worth. Amen? But as far as rewards go, you know, you earn these rewards as you go through life. But here, what was happening was this person had an evil heart. But what I want to really point out is that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, let's turn to chapter 22, verse 9 through 14. And we have another example of this. And it says in verse 9, it says, "Go ye therefore into the highways, as many as ye shall find, and bring them to the marriage." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding furnished it with guests. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw there was a man that had not a wedding garment on. And he said unto him, "Friend, how comest thou into here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, "Bind him up, hand and foot, take him away, and cast him in the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So he says it again. Here we have a party. And Jesus is teaching us something here. He says, go out and get all these people coming to the party, like this church here. Get them all, come on. Hey, come on in church. But once they were in the church, or in the party, some of them didn't respond in their heart. They were given an opportunity to come to God's house, or come to God, this meeting place. But with the idea that they would yield to God, and they would learn the ways of life, to how to be successful in this life and be used of God. God called them, but not all were chosen. The one that didn't respond were cast out to outer darkness where there's gnashing and weeping. We're talking about hell here. You see, so again, many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what a wonderful experience it is to be called of God. I want you to think about this. The Creator, I'm just like an ant, a little ant running around. You see, a little bug, you know, in relationship to the value of God, you know. And here we are, dirt. Can you imagine that? Did you know you're dirt? I want you to go tell everyone your preacher told you was dirt. But I know I read this in a book that if they melt us down, that all we are is a bunch of dirt, a few minerals and vitamins in us. Amen? God breathed in the clay, and here we become what we are. And yet God calls the clay to do something for him. Isn't that neat? God actually gives you the privilege in this life to help him in this tremendous war that he's in with Satan, you see, to prove something. And it's neat that we are even given a chance to serve our Creator. Some people act like, when you invite them to church, that they do you a big pleasure by coming. "Well, I'll come down there and try them out," you know. You ask them 10 times, and they come, and then they sit there like this, you know. And they think it's a big deal they've done for you by going to church with you. That's funny, isn't it? When it's a privilege to be called by God. You know, sometimes you've heard me say that, you know, I never planned on being a preacher. Never planned on being a shepherd, a minister. I had no idea that I'd ever be. But, you know, I've been very cautious of emphasizing that. I don't want to sound like, oh, God had to drag me into this thing. No way, man. This is a privilege. It's a tremendous privilege to serve God in any capacity. And I believe that we need to be very, very sincere on how we are thankful when God calls us to do anything. When God called us to salvation, that was precious. God called us to serve Him in some capacity. That's the most important thing in your life. The Creator has actually called you to do something. But the problem is we have the wrong attitude. We take it for granted so many times. We do not respond and grow and pursue that with all that we have. We need to have the same attitude that Paul had in Philippians 3:14. You might turn to that. Philippians 3:14. Praise you, Father. Here in 3:14, it says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I press, I push, I press for that mark of that high calling. What's the high calling? That's whatever God created you to be. Whatever God created you to be is your high calling. Do you realize that God created you unique? God created you as something inside that's special. Something that no one can quite do exactly the way that you can do it. And people stumble all over this world trying to find themselves. I tell you what, there's something worth finding inside of you. And you'll never be more fulfilled in life when you find what God called you to be. And you produce all those talents and gifts at His service. And but He says here, He pressed towards the mark to achieve that high calling. Now, look up here in verse 7. And look at his attitude. I think this is the reason why Paul was chosen of God. After he was called, he was chosen, you see, to do the things he did, to write 1/3 of the New Testament because of this attitude. He said this, first, but what things were gained to me, those I considered lost for Christ. He was a very wealthy man, very important person, but he said he was nothing to him. Everything he'd gained in life was nothing compared to Christ. He goes on to say, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Just to know what God wants for his life. It was he counted everything else as loss. Nothing was more important. That doesn't mean he didn't love his family. Didn't mean he didn't work. Doesn't mean he didn't, you know, have a car or have a camel or a house or any of those things. It just means they meant very little to him in comparison to what he considered the calling of Christ to be. Goes on to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I might win Christ. Now, I'm not going to translate that word dung to what we call it nowadays, okay? You'd say I was cussing in church, you know? But he says, now think about that. There's nothing in my mind that's more worthless. Of course, I guess you can use it as fertilizer. It's dung. I mean, that's the byproduct, the waste product of life. But he says everything in his life compared to Christ is like dung. You see? Now I want you to think about this. How many times do we complain at the job that God gives us? Or at the opportunities he gives us? Many types of opportunities come our way to help people, to serve people, to be helped in the ministry, maybe to go over and patch something up for somebody, or a moment to listen to someone's problem, or to teach in the school, or to substitute, or to assist, or to be somewhere at the right time and place. How many times do we moan and groan about it? Well, and we gripe and we complain. Listen, we need, if we're gonna be chosen to do the great high calling that God has called us to do, we're going to have the attitude that every little thing that God sends into our life for us to serve Him in, we should be so enthused over it, so excited about it. There's people in this church that come to me and just get real excited. They say, Mike, I had an opportunity to do this or that. It could be something as small as to give a loaf of bread to someone. And they're real excited about it. or to clean the church. I had a person come up one day and say to me, it's been a lot of months ago, you know, I thank you. He said, I thank you for the opportunity to clean your stools back here. A person told me that, you know. And I sat there, you know, trying to get my composure. I said, what are you talking about? You know, God showed me. He said, God was impressed with that person's attitude. That they was back there scrubbing those stools, and they thought, they crossed their mind, you know, I'm not doing this for people. I'm doing this for Jesus Christ. And man, I tell you something, those stools, I don't think they ever were cleaner than when that person was cleaning them. You know what I mean? And when I look around, you know, at how people do things, and I'm going to think, there's a time in ministering to confront people. There's a time to be encouraging and sensitive. There's a time to prove yourself. It says in several scriptures, one of them is John 20 and 30, that Jesus, through signs and wonders, revealed himself. He once said, they said, who are you? He said, well, go tell them that the blind are seeing, they're seeing again. The deaf are hearing. He was saying, hey, I'm the Son of God. Look at my works. He revealed himself through signs. There's a time to prove yourself. There's a sign to sit down, the time to sit down and say, hey, okay, listen. But there's another time that you don't in your ministry. There's another time that says, give us a sign, Lord. And he said, forget it. You're not going to get a sign from me, you evil generation. There's a time that you just keep silent, like Jesus did when they accused him before Pilate. He just kept silent, didn't he? To defend himself. There's a time to defend yourself, as Paul did, when he says, hey, listen to me. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. There's a time to knock a person off their feet, spiritually speaking. That's what they did to Paul, wasn't it? Knocked him right off his donkey. There's a time to lift a person up and say, hey, can I help you? There's a time to come down hard and let a person be a vessel of wrath to be example to other people. It says in Romans chapter 9 and 22, look at that real quick since you're over there, 9 and 22, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy when he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of Jews only, but also the Gentiles. You read that whole context there, and you're seeing both sides of the picture. There's a time that you come, you have wrath and judgment. It may not do that person a lot of good, but it's going to help those around. And like it says in the Bible, it says, them that sin rebuke before the church so all can fear. But there's another time when you have special mercy upon a person's as a ministry to all that see. Now, I've given you several examples this morning. What I'm basically going to wrap this up with this. We need to learn how to be successful helpers. We find the plan in the scriptures. I've just given you a small little taste of it this morning. But if you learn that you don't have to do it all right now, and that God is the one that's really going to get the job done, and you just need to be ready at the right time. You need to be sensitive. You need to listen to the Lord. Be sensitive to people around you. And at the right time and place, deposit whatever you have. You may be someone that plants a seed or someone that waters the seed. But we should be sensitive that not everyone's ready to be saved all the time. Not everyone's ready to be helped all the time. Just be ready. Just find that one that's willing. The one that's ready. And we'll have great success. Now here's what happens if you don't. If you go out and just trying to pack your church full, or you just try to help all your friends, you'll turn some of them into the most bitter enemies that you've ever had. You're going to have enemies in this life. But I don't want any more than what God wants me to have. How about you? You see, if I'm out doing what God wants me to do, then fine. Let them come. Let them come as big and as many as they want. They can just come with their tongues a wagging. That's okay with me. But I don't want to make them outside of God's will by trying to help those who don't want to be helped. Trying to open the eyes of the blind who want to stay blind. Trying somehow to get them to hear when they don't want to hear. Get them to eat when they don't want to eat, if you know what I'm talking about spiritually. Amen? Listen. God has a successful plan. And if the world lives by it, they'll be happy. And we are His ministers, the Bible says, to bring this world to success. There's a lot of people who are ready to be helped. We don't have to waste our time on those who don't. But let's get out and help those who want to be helped. Amen? Don't be caught setting back and not helping when God has been so gracious to you and helped you. He's given you a helping hand, so turn around and give somebody else a helping hand. Amen? Praise God. Someone want to add anything to what I said this morning? There's a good point, if I understand the total of what you're expressing. What he's saying is that sometimes a person will resist truth. And their problem is they just don't know what they want. If they knew, then they would want it. Is that kind of what you're saying? Sometimes a person doesn't know what they want. And so if you'll go ahead and push a little bit, you can give them a little information, they're going to find out they want it. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it's a good point. There's a time, and this is where the sensitivity of God's Holy Spirit comes in. Someone might say, I don't want to be your friend. Okay? But you, in the Holy Spirit, know that's exactly what they really need, and if they only knew what was offered, they would want it. There is a time to go ahead and give a person what they don't think they want. And you got to be led by God's Holy Spirit to know really what their heart really is, needs and wants. You see what I'm saying? So I'm agreeing with what you're saying, is that there is a time that a person doesn't know what they want, but their heart cries out for help. And God will tell you, help them in spite of them. So that's good. That's a good point. Somebody else want to ask something?